West West, y'all.
Here's Ola. Oh, he's away from one, away from another. Look at this!
Welcome back to another episode of the 1-5 Footy Podcast. Joined today, thankfully, by my also Pete. How's it going, bro?
Good. Morning, evening.
And I've head to Dragon, my ring in, and expert analyst from the Counter-Ruck, Stacey Tediani. How's it going, bro?
Thanks, also. I'll take that intro. Thanks, brother.
Cool, man. It's been a pretty exciting week coming into these last few rounds. Top teams are doing what the top teams are doing. People are going to say that the Warriors squeezed in, but we'll cover that off. Yeah, I think let's get right into it. Some of the breaking news, let's cover it off. Some of these signings, one of the big ones at the moment, Tino and David. I think they're excellent signings. $12 million for 10 years for Tino. That's a long contract for a prop. And then David signing again for 3 years at $3 million. So, yeah, a lot of money for these young kids. Your thoughts on that first, Pete? What do you think?
I think they're setting a new benchmark, especially with when you've got forwards asking for that type of money and being able to receive that type of money. And then after that, you know, it sort of means, you know, when it comes to halves, you know, what are they worth eventually, you know? Ten years, that's a massive contract, eh? But then again, we've seen how well Tamalolo has been able to pan out with his one, eh? He's been hot and cold, but...
Yeah, what's his...
it's done him well.
Yes, this.
Yeah, it's interesting because props don't normally get paid that much. Like Pete said, it's normally the halves and the guys in the spine that get that much money. But I think I'm all for it. I think the props are worth that money. So if you look at the top three sides, look at the Panthers, right? They've got Fisher, Harris and Leota, the Bronx with Haas and co. And, you know, us at the Warriors, we've got Funua Blake. So it's that old adage that the game's won and lost up front. So if you have that alpha sort of middle forward, everything flows off the back of that. So they don't get enough credit. But look at someone like, if you look at Reynolds at the Bronx, he was deemed not worthy of a long contract extension itself. He's been a gun for the Bronx playing off the back of their go forward. Sean Johnson, he's having a potential Dally M season this year, which has coincided with Fanua Blake gripping up. So, you know, Cleary's been doing it for a while now at the Panthers on the back of their middles. So the spine guys, they get a lot of the money and a lot of the credit, but they only function off the back of the middles. So it's about time the props started getting paid. So I'm glad they're getting that money. So good on Tino and co for getting those contract upgrades for sure.
Yeah. Inspiring too. Like, I guess even as a, you know, Pacifica, like when you see kids like in their profession getting this kind of money, you know, kind of getting what they're worth, it kind of makes you think like, you know, when you know you're doing a good job, how do you start, you know, doing what these kids are doing? So I think credit to their agents, you know, making sure that, you know, like you're saying, kind of highlighting these things that these guys are doing. And getting winning them these huge contracts. Some talk around his longevity as a middle for 10 years. I think, talk of possibly moving. I mean, that try that he scored on the weekend, as like a centre try, just skipping out and getting through those tackles. So, yeah, that'll be interesting. I don't know if you're thinking you'll stay in the middles there, Fliss?
Yeah, it's a tough one, eh? 10 years, like anything can happen. That's such a long term. Anything can happen in that 10 years. And I know Pete brought up Tamalolo. I'm not sure how much longer he's got. But, yeah, that was 10 years, $10 million. And, you know, you think in the early days when he was winning those Dally M's, he was worth the money. He was probably worth more than $1 million. He was probably like $1.2-1.3 million. But now I think he's coming off the bench a bit more, and all those hits and all that contact he's taken in the middle has really taken its toll. So that's the issue. I think Tino might be 23, 24, at the end of his contract, he could be 34. What does he look like at that age? You know what I mean? And that's where it can be a bit tricky with the longer term contracts. But at this stage, he looks like he's worth it. So, you know, when you factor in all the leadership and off-field stuff and all the things he does in the community and all this other external factors, apart from the on-field playing, then, you know, maybe it might be a good deal for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Pete, you're Mind saying...
You've got Reece Walsh, you can...
Tom Lolo. Oh, yeah.
Mind you, you've got Reece Walsh, he comes off contract in November. I think it's this year. So, you know, having those guys being able to be 1.2 mil players, you know, it'd be really interesting to see exactly what type of money that, you know, teams would be willing to offer him.
Reece Walsh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's where it might start to get a bit tricky because, you know, you give Payne Haas that much money, Reece Walsh is going to need a contract upgrade. Ezra Mamm's probably going to need a contract upgrade, and they can't really hold everyone. So that's where it starts getting a bit tricky, who you upgrade and who you have to let go when the Bronx start making some noise in the playoffs.
Well, yeah, especially when, like, you know, if these – because I guess the agents have to be good enough too. So whoever is Reece Walsh's agent is going to be pushing. Like, you can't see contracts like that and let a kid like Reece Walsh not get at least close to those or more. He's playing real good, like, and yeah, I think those are going to be huge contracts, especially with Payne, like you said. I think it's 3 mil for 3 years. They kind of
3.3.
Haven't. Man, that's huge. Yeah, again, yeah, that's a huge amount in that cap. Well, when's Reynolds? Is he off from next year or this year?
Yeah, he signed 3 years. I think he's got one more year. I might have to check that. But I know Cy will know. But yeah, he's been worth his weight in gold for the Bronx. And you probably think if he wants to sign on a couple more years or another year extension, the Bronx will probably give it to him because he's worth it. So yeah, that's when it starts to get a bit dodgy, and they might have to pull out the old school brown paper bags that they used to do in the 90s.
Yeah, exactly. Trying to figure that out now. Old Bulldogs then. And I guess that's the thing. Like, how do you justify, like, I guess out of that conversation, if you're talking new contracts, someone like Tom Malolo, would you be offering him a million at the moment?
Yeah, that's right. So, I suppose on the balance of it, like if you look at the averages, he averaged a million because there was periods he won the Dally M Player of the Year. I'm just trying to have a look quickly on Google now, but I mean, I'm not sure if he won it once or twice. And you know that award really goes to spine type players. So there was a period where he was undeniably the best middle in the world and probably arguably the best forward. So he was worth the money. And I think across the average, he's probably worth it. But if you look now, he's not worth it. He's not getting that same thing. So he's saying
maybe it was a front-loaded kind of contract. Too. You know, maybe it was, you know, he's playing his best and giving him more of that money, you know, up front so that it probably evens out now. Maybe the caps, you know, it's allowing leverage there because he probably knew it.
If you look at it from the other side of the coin as well, where you've got players that are just purely playing for the love of the game, like Sean Johnson, that guy could demand crazy money at the moment, eh? But some odd reason he's
the Tigers offer was quite a bit more than what he settled with the Warriors, but you know, I guess that's where he's, you know, you can see he's just enjoying his footy. I think that's where he's playing best at the moment. It's just kind of someone who's really just enjoying it for the love of the game. Kind of that surrounding, what kind of Webster's got there. Talking in terms of Ford's TPJ giving up the game at the end of the season.
Yeah, that's right.
And moving to boxing. That's, I don't know. How do you market someone like that? Because that's the thing. Boxing isn't just your skill in the ring. You've got to get offers. And if these guys see him as just some big guy who's had two fights and can, you know, probably pummel them, he's not going to get fights. So what are they marking him as? Because if they look and go, oh, mate, nah, I'm not getting in the ring with this guy until, like, Yeah, they don't want to lose. You know, that's the only way you get up there is if they're offering you those fights. So what are these guys looking to market him as? If he's a guy who doesn't meet his potential in NRL, is he going to another sport just to become a guy who didn't meet his potential in boxing?
I think if you – he's got a profile already. So I think that's definitely going to help. Mm. If you're a boxer coming through, that's where it can be hard. If no one knows you, no one's going to come and watch your fights.
Yeah.
But I know with Pangwine Jr., I'm not like a big fan of the move, but I'll watch his fights to see how he goes. Yeah. So I think they could market it like that and saying, hey, look, this guy's cross codes. And that interest, that TV interest, the viewers and the pay-per-views kind of and all the rest of it, that's how we can get a bit of cash. But that starts to wear thin after a while if you can't perform.
Well, and I think that's a good point, because I guess the guys he's got in his corner is Sonny Bill. So it's guys who know how to market and bring – that's probably the angle, like you're saying, the popularity. Because if they can take that social media and get the fan base to want to follow it, that's how they'll grow that. I don't know. Pete, what do you think?
Is Paul Gannon like a what do they call him? Does he go out and promote boxing for ex-league players now, or what's his gig? Yeah, because he seems to be able to bring in fights, that guy. So I thought maybe he's sort of like out there trying to be a promoter,
take on ex-league players
and bring them into the boxing.
Because he's kind of done enough in the ring. He's been a good boxer. I think that's the thing. I rate him as kind of when he did the switch. Maybe that's what TPJ sees himself being able to do.
Yeah. The thing was, the difference with Gallen is Gallen played league till he was 34 or whatever.
Exactly.
And he was done. He was done. His body had done. And then at least he still had that desire to be pro athlete. Mm-hmm. And he was able to make a whole heap of money afterwards with boxing. You know, TPJ is only 27. So he's leaving at what potentially could be some of his prime years.
$750,000, I'll say. So he's like on 750.
Yeah, 750. For next year. So I suppose from the Bulldogs perspective, if you look at it from the other side, I'm not sure he's worth 750. So if they can get that off the cap, that's one of the issues the Dogs have. They've overpaid a whole heap of guys and their cap's a bit out of whack. One of our guys who's wrote an article for us, he's a diehard Bulldog supporter. He could probably explain it a bit better than I can. But if they can get 750 off their cap and get someone else he's worth that money. You can get a couple of good signings or whatever, one good signing who performs week in, week out. They could potentially turn that around. So I suppose from the Bulldog side at least,
yeah,
it gives them an opportunity to sort of sort their cap out a bit better.
Well, mate, I don't know if that's the only problem. Because they're kind of, with their buys, they're going to be like Panthers 2.0. They got Crichton coming in, Damon Salmon. Then you've got all those existing guys that are already there with Matt Burden and that re-signing. So,
yeah, I think if you look at the Bulldogs, like they've been struggling for a couple of years now. They've been close to the bottom for a bit. So Phil Gould sort of come in and he said, hey, look, we need to get guys who know what success looks like and have been in successful teams. So he's purposely gone out and got these guys from teams like the Panthers, for instance. He's got a couple of the South guys who have played in, five straight preliminary finals. And he's specifically targeted guys who know how to win, just to try and turn that culture around. We'll see how that goes, but yeah.
Nice, Wolf. All right, man. This guy just dropped off when I wanted him to talk and explain his heels. we'll quickly just have a look at the ladder and kind of... Where things are at. I guess the Panthers currently sitting at top. 3 weeks to go. Are you locking them in as minor premiers?
I am. I'm just trying to pull up their schedule now. I think they've got all winnable games. And it's going to be interesting. Yeah, I wonder if they might need a loss, hey? I was thinking that, you know, it's hard to maintain the rage, eh? I saw this other stat, which I was going to bring up a bit later, but what was I looking at? Something about the Panthers, they've won seven games in a row. If they win every game all the way to the grand final, they'll win 13 straight games. That's never, ever been done before in the history of rugby league. The record number of wins right through to the grand final was 11. That was done by South, yeah, way back in 1955, and Manly did it in 1972. So I'm not sure if the Panthers...
for a run to the final stretch, you mean?
That, yeah, that yeah, like games. Win all the way to the, including the grand final. So that will be, the Panthers will set a new record. I'm not sure if they need a loss before then, or if they can just carry on and break the record, but yeah, that was some, just sort of an interesting stat I heard, so...
They could be a record-breaking team, though. Like,
yeah, they could be.
They're real impressive. Like, just yeah, watching them. I think that'll be interesting to see. But I think they're kind of even with a loss, I think they stay up there.
Do you think anyone like they just seem so much better than everyone else? Do you think?
Well, I think Manly kind of showed how you can beat them. Like Manly and kind of what the
Kick on the first tactics, you mean? Because I don't know about that one.
I think just the wrestle, just their like the game the week before, like I couldn't watch the end of that Melbourne game because they were just, like I was saying aside, just hands and knees, every tackle. And it wasn't just our forwards, like their forwards, every player was able to just get on that front foot of every player of the ball, whereas Manu was able to get them on their backs quite a lot and just keeping that wrestle. So I think in slowing their play, that's one key thing, is being able to kind of slow that down. But then, yeah, you've got to be able to execute an attack. So I think that's something Warriors can do with the defense piece. And then they have got the attack, but it's being able to execute, because I guess that's where the Panthers are just kind of like that storm professionalism, like just their completions. Yeah, they're almost like that storm. You know, you've got to, if you want going to beat these guys, you've got to be perfect. And I don't think the Warriors have played a perfect game this season yet. So, yeah, last couple of games, I think I've taken them as positives, you know, kind of working on stuff they need to. I think last week was an example of them just being able to let other leaders, kind of Fonua Blake leading last week. I think it's just Tohu Harris, just seeing, you know, it's not just on the shoulders of one player. I think Bronco's been doing that a bit, those games where Reynolds was out. I think that was almost like a tester for them to see, you know, can we do this stuff when he's not there? So I think they're just covering for that.
Just on that game, like you talked about that tactic, I actually might, now that you mentioned it, I kind of agree with you that the Seagulls' tactics against the Panthers, eh? Because, like, the way the Panthers are just killing everyone, it's their back three. It's Edwards, Tor, and Taruva.
They're just, so strong in those carries, like,
yeah,
and it's get and so yeah, that was a good like they were able to get Edwards out of the game just by kicking early and just getting him to, you know, and so that kind of put him off his game and then getting their D down on him.
And also when they kick, like Taruva and Tor running up in the line, so they can isolate Edwards at the back. But because they get so much go forward and so much momentum out of that back three, that means that their middles, Fisher Harrison.
Third of the field as well.
They don't have to do those hit ups, and they're fresh for the defense. And that defense is what's winning them all their games. So those middles are putting a lot of emphasis on, you know, line speed and making their tackles and stopping the middle, stopping the opposition. It's the defense is great, but it's built on the back three doing a lot of the carries and saving the energy of the middles to focus on the defense. So it's a good system which all works well together, and I suppose this is the tactic that Manly try to employ, is if we can get at that back three, then we can stop them and get the middles a little bit more work. It didn't work, but I sort of understand why he did it, even though I want the Warriors to try it, but maybe kick on the third, not on the first.
Or at least execute. That's the thing, it just comes down to those game plans are only as good as the execution, because then you just look goodbye. The storm still in there. I think I have them on my predictor as finishing fourth as well.
I'm agreeing with you there. I've got them. What have you made of the Broncos? Have you got them?
I've got them finishing out second. I don't think they'll drop a game. So yeah, I had the. Oh, something changed. The Warriors are second now. Panthers must have dropped it. Okay.
Yeah, Bronx are looking really good. Like, look at they've got that dual threat. Walsh, his speed and his ball playing at the back. It's almost undefendable. And that combination he's got with Reynolds now.
Yeah, and that's what I was liking about that. Just Reynolds knowing when to let these guys have a turn. I think that was the thing. Like, he can control the game so much, and then when it opened up, yeah, it was almost like just giving it to, you know, Ezra and Walsh to just have a go. And I think that's the scary thing, that Reynolds is reading the game so good at the moment. He's, yeah. So I think that's, I guess because he's kind of older and known, you know, there's so many stars in that team, but what he's doing, I think he's ahead of Cleary, I guess, just, but like, because there's so many different parts of the Panthers attack, you get more impressed by Cleary because of the team, but I think Reynolds just as smart, so, yeah.
Yeah, one thing I saw is like the Bronx, they're on a bit of a scoring spree. So they've scored 30 plus in their last five games. And they've only done that once in their history. So they scored 30 plus in five straight games way back in 2000. And they bloody won the comp that year. So I know Sy's, he's doing backflips there anymore. You say that. So I know he's a diehard Bronx fan.
Yeah.
But they're looking really, really strong there.
Kind of one concern I had a while back, you know, kind of just that spine, and it was like even the Panthers, you know, just that hooker position. And I know you don't really like Billy, but man, he's been doing good the last few weeks.
yeah, just on the, oh, you're right. I'm not a fan of him. I thought it was bloody
the old letter borderline.
Yeah, borderline nepotism, him getting in this team that all the coach, time. But
has let my son play, eh? I'm the coach. Shut up, yeah. Just leave my boy.
Yeah, but to his credit, I'm with you. He's been playing good, and he's like, to me, he's one of their most crucial guys, eh? Because you think they've got Reynolds and Walsh, and they've got the forwards, they've got everything, but no one touches the ball more than the hooker. So if he can get it together, now everything else is sorted for the Bronx almost. So
yeah.
Good on Billy Walters. Give him some credit, even though I bag him all the time.
I think there's I had the Storm kind of fighting it out, but I've got Storm at fourth and then the Knights coming in at fifth.
Yep. Oh, it looks like we've got similar so far. Yeah, the top four and five.
Yeah. And then I've got the, maybe I was playing around with this too much. I've got the Roosters coming in.
Big call. Ooh,
okay.
Yeah.
I don't.
I think it was because I was mucking around with this. Nah, because I got the Roosters beating the Eels tomorrow.
Big call.
But I think that's the right call.
you want to log back out again, the Pete, and then come back in after this conversation? Yeah.
Just in time, eh?
Yeah, who else did I have? Jeez. Yeah, and then Roosters, and then the Eels. Oh, no, then the Raiders and Cowboys. Raiders and Cowboys closing out my 7 and 8. What have you got?
So you don't have the Rabbitohs in there?
Nah, I had the Rabbitohs dropping out.
Ooh. And you got the Sharks there?
Sharks dropping out.
You've got some movers and shakers.
So it'll be interesting because that I think I think it's positional changes from 4 to 6 maybe. But yeah, I think that 6, 7, and 8 is anyone's ball game, not anyone's. I think it's kind of the Rabbits, Sharks, and Sea Eagles to fight it out for those. Love the Cowboys, Raiders, and Roosters. I have the Roosters in the mix somehow.
Did you make those predictions?
What have you got? What have you got closing out your 6 to 8?
I think we agree 1 to 5.
Yeah.
We've got the same. I've got the Sharks finishing 6th, Rabbits 7th. And Raiders 8th. So I've got the same top 8 that's current, just jostling for those last bottom 4, or 5 to 8 spot in there.
Okay. I see where you're. So I think you've got this. Let me just make some changes to this and have a look what changes. Maybe I had the Rabbits losing 2 games. Because they got the bye next week, so that's free for them. So this week's. This week and their last game against the Roosters is crucial. But I had the Roosters pipping them for that. So that's probably the difference.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's good. It's still, you know, it's good to know that there's still lots to play for right to the end of the season, you know.
Yeah, so I think that's what they've done well with the draw. Like, it's even the top teams, like, they're locked in, but there could be movements if they drop some of those.
Yep.
Cool, let's have a look at those games for this week, because I know the next one's kicked off, or just about to, last 3 weeks in, man. So we got the Cowboys versus the Sharks tonight. What you go for that one?
That one, I actually went Cowboys on that game.
Yeah. Oh, after the... Yeah, actually, I think I went them too. Stace?
Yeah, Sharks have won 12 of their last 14 regular season games against the Cowboys, and they've won 9 in a row. So they got the Cowboys number.
Yeah.
Tom Malolo's 250th, but I like the Sharks. I don't know why. There's always those foibles of the draw where someone's got someone covered for whatever reason, psychological reason. So I'll just go for the Sharks just for
them. Yeah, that actually sounds like the Sharks. Especially coming off last week, man. They look really good again, eh? Just clicked in again.
Yeah. They got that new 5'8 there, Trindle.
Because he pumped, and I think he stepped in and then went, and that's what just, yeah, it just looked so good that it would look wrong.
Yeah. You know, before, it's sort of like they had Moylan, his form was poor, and it was sort of like, it was all on Nico Hines.
Yeah.
If you can, makes it easy for the defense. They're just all putting all their pressure on Nico Hines. So he's good. He's a gun, actually. But he just needs that bit of help, and if he can get some help, which he's getting from Trindle, the Sharks look a different team, because they were tumbling down the table sort of 2-3 weeks back.
And that Titans team, like, after, you know, I thought they were going to show up after, you know, like, pushing the Warriors the week before, and then I thought, you know, with the new signings, that was quite, yeah, especially, like, they look like they were good, but then you look at the score, like, right. But I think that's kind of the turnaround of the Sharks. So, yeah, you're probably right. I think Valentine's still out for the Cowboys as well.
That's a big loss save.
Yeah. So, yeah, good call for that one. Tomorrow night, mate, everyone's expecting the Warriors to drop this. I don't know why. Pete, are you another hater?
The Warriors. Now, mind you, I think they could do...
Warriors Manly at home, man.
They could do with a loss, eh?
Oh, you've been reading the same reports as Stace was saying just before as well. I think when you cut out, that it was, you know, if you have a long run of wins before the final.
No, because if you're...
I think, what are the Warriors on? 5 on the trot as well, eh?
Yeah. They're on 5 in a row. So if they win all their games right through to the grand final, they'll win 11.
They'll do the
which
same.
Will be the record. They'll equal the record. 115 years record. In 115 years of rugby league.
Now, that is something I can get behind.
Well, that also might mean they might need to lose one, just the law of averages. Not that I'm, you know, pining for a loss or anything. But yeah, sorry, carry on, Pete. What were you saying?
Yeah, I just think that if they take a loss and then after that, it'll just allow them to regather. Because at the moment, if they're constantly winning and then after that, there's a certain expectation of them to win from the fans.
Then again, mate, you don't want winners win, man. Hey, winners to just live.
Yeah, I'm not really. I understand it, but it's hard for me. Yeah, as a Warriors fan, to subscribe to that theory of we need to lose one. You know, it's just like one.
I don't know.
Just carry on. Carry on if you can. Carry
especially
on.
Especially like man, just see the season Johnson's having, and he hasn't missed a game either.
Yeah.
Like, I was looking through, I was thinking, shucks, this guy hasn't actually missed a game this season. So, I didn't see the Seagulls last. I think they played their final last week. I think they threw everything and failed, and that is why they're going to fail this season.
Because they're on.
Cams was doing some maths. They're on, what are their points at the moment? I think they are.
Seagulls are
25 points. So the eight, the Rabbits are on 8 on 28 points. So they're on 25. So they're coming 12th at the moment. But nah, just their run home. They're dependent on other games. So even if they win all their games, they've still got to play those maths because there's some other games. So I can't see them doing it. I think an important one for the Warriors. You know, I don't think Manly will turn up, so I think the Warriors gonna Warriors by 22 on this one.
Ooh, big call, big call.
I think they're just gonna try and get some form now, try and do some different stuff. I think they're taking some learnings last few weeks. So, especially I think you know that Canberra game. So I think the Titans game. You know, they played that last 10. You know, there was a Titan. The Tigers game. The bit of a comeback, but I think they kind of learned how to close out of 10 minutes there, kind of finish out that game. Let the forwards lead, but yeah, I think they're kind of due for a well-rounded game. So yeah, I'm picking them for this one against Manly.
Yeah, just on there, like the Warriors, like you said, Tons, they've won five in a row. So if they win the next, if they win this week, that'll be six straight. They haven't won six straight since 2002, which is when we made that grand final that year. So
Ominous, see?
ominous, ominous. I like that. Yeah. Also, they're getting Chance back as well because I think that was actually a big loss. He was actually quite important to the team, so he just
Especially
offers
just
that little bit of
defensive,
polish.
just
Yeah,
Bicky's
exactly.
good and he's
Defensively.
fast, but just being able to organize the boys, so
Yeah, I agree with that. So that's where the Tigers, they look quite good, but against, you know, someone they needed Chance to do the defensive organization. He's a crucial
Because
part of that.
even that bloody lorry break through the middle, as impressive as that was, I think that was just Mitch Barnett a bit out, whereas that stuff that Chance organizes to help make sure they're not so wide, just little gaps like that, or he'd cover that. Nice. Pete, your Eels, mate, your Eels. The moonwalk from Farnworth after he kicked your halfback in the face.
Mind you, for him to be able to play a full half with a broken eye socket, you know,
Yeah, right. I wonder
that's
if he felt it. I wonder if he knew it was guy, if it was just maybe he just thought it was like a black eye or something.
I think he felt it, and then after that he really felt it when Farmer put his ankle in, put his bloody heel in there as well, eh? Holy shit.
They must have given him the stuff out the back so he could play on.
Yeah, no. They've got a really bad run on the to the end, eh?
Yeah, man. So I think this is winnable, but man, the Roosters form last week. What are your thoughts, mate? You reckon you guys can get
I
up?
think
We have to.
I think if Guffey can more or less pull a rabbit out of the hat, and then after that,
Put them on the last 3 minutes, then, if you want
Right,
to
that was the epitome. That guy won that by just doing that, eh? 3 minutes on the field, 30K. You know, that's a
So
super player.
what it takes.
That is a super player to be able to do that, eh? No, but I think when it comes down to the Eels, I think if everyone's on point, Pennacini, who else? Gutho, he'd need to be on point. He'd have to be.
Yeah, you guys are playing Dejan, so you're going to move Dejan to six, and then Dylan Brown's going to lead the boys around.
Yeah, mind you, Dylan Brown, he's been on fire since he's been back, eh?
Man, it's too late. He should have been there those other
No,
games. It's cost your
that was
team,
Ryan
man.
Matheson right at the beginning, eh? Wanting to sit out three games instead of pay $1,500 for a fine.
Yeah, that's true,
Yeah,
eh?
that was a. Is that what that was
Yeah,
about? What was the fine
he was having
like?
a sook
So.
about the fine.
See, you guys need to upgrade your players, bro. Pay them properly. That's what happens when
Yeah,
$1,500 and you get people not playing three games because you guys are giving them $1,000 a week, man. Come on, man. These train and trials, not a. You probably got 15 of your 30 on train and trial. Upgrade these contracts, man.
so. Mind you,
Nah,
Simonson
I'm
had a
going
good game last week
Roosters.
as well. So if he's if
He's been playing all right.
Yeah, he's been good.
Raiders, he's a Raiders boy.
yeah. So they've got the talent on the field. They just need to be able to utilize each person, eh, and then have them work together.
But yeah, the Roosters look like they're starting to click. Doing a late run. Usually they're late starters, but around round five they come right. But I don't know. You reckon they're able to make it in, Stace? You don't have them coming in your 8A.
I don't have them coming in my 8. You know, they've. I don't know. It's hard. People get mesmerized by the
team. The names.
Team lists on paper. And that's why no one rates the Warriors. The Warriors don't have they're coming third, but they don't have the third best roster. So everyone's sort of writing them off. But the Roosters are sort of in the opposite basket where everyone looks at those team on paper and think, oh, they'll come right this week. So no one's really prepared to write them off. Even they've been in the bottom half of the table for three quarters of the season.
Yeah, you know but I mean? Their run, so these three games, it's other than that last game, if they beat the Eels, then they've got the Tigers next week. And then they've got the Rabbits in their last game. Even if they drop that Rabbits game, I've still got them in the 8. So I think it may be a bit dependent on the other games around them.
Yeah, you might be right there. So this has the potential to be a really good game. So
yeah.
Definitely worth a watch. But I just having a look at some of the stats. So just looking back at the past decade, right? Only one team has missed the top 8 the year after playing in the grand final. So that was the Cowboys. They missed the playoffs in 2018 after playing in the grand final in 2017.
Oh, wow.
So the Eels, they've got a lot to play for, man. They don't want to be added to that.
At least it's not an old record, Pete. It's like just an upgrade from the last few years. So.
But, man, honestly, Mitch Moses, he's so important. That sort of sways it to me to the Roosters just for that reason. If he was playing, I would pick the Eels. He's that good and he's that important. But, yeah, the Eels, they need to improve their defense. They've, if they want to win, they've conceded at least 20 points in the last 7 straight games. So,
I think I think it was so crucial. Like I don't think they covered the loss of Marnie well enough. Because that go forward from Reed Marnie, I think he struggled at the Dogs. But man, yeah, once he left, I think that middle kind of collapsed.
Mind you, it wasn't just Greg Marnie, and then after you got Papali'i when he went off to the Dogs as well. I think that created a massive hole in the team, just because he was able to work in with Moses, and then after that actually like run the gaps.
Well, they got that guy Cartwright. Cartwright's pretty good.
Yeah.
This is the best he's ever played.
Yeah, he rips up from
He's always had the potential to be good, and he's finally delivering on some of that. Sean Lane's had a bit of injury, so they've got back rowers. They've got some gun back rowers there. But you're right, Papali'i is still a big loss.
Well, Hopgood's been an awesome signing.
Oh, bro, he's been awesome. Yeah.
He got an upgrade. He's re-signed till 2025, so surely he must have got an upgrade from his contract.
Yeah, the Eels are similar to the Roosters, like on paper. Mm. They've got a way better team than wherever they are on the ladder. So it's just one of those scratching your head about what's going on with some of these teams. Eh? The ladder position compared to the roster.
Yeah,
mind you, you could say that about the Bulldogs, eh? When you have a look at their roster, they've got some massive names in there.
But then you look, that was their full roster, pretty much all their guns last week.
Yeah.
They were horrible. So, yeah, I don't know. Man, Serrato, poor dude, I feel sorry for him. He's struggling with those guys after that performance. Tigers, Dolphins. You guys, Dolphins got a few outs for this game, actually.
Got Tigers on that one.
Yeah, Hammer's out for this game. Who else is out? I don't know why they're out. If they're injured. Who'd you go for this game, Stace?
Yeah, I'm with Pete. I'm going Tigers. Just the injuries that you mentioned. Mm. So Hammerso's out, Marshall King's out, Kenny Bromwich out, Lemuelu's out, so.
Oh, wow.
These are crucial guys for them.
Yeah, he's been carving for them.
Tigers have been poor, but I don't know if the Dolphins can recover from those guns out. So let's go to the Tigers for that reason. Yeah, I'm with Pete on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. Like that game last week, man, they. I don't know if that was like planned, just awesome gameplay, or if these guys just throwing everything they had, just do whatever. Because that's part of, like, their flair as well. So it was hard to tell, like, is that set moves or just each? You just want to throw the ball around because you guys are wooden spoon. Man, that was just a frustrating game for the Warriors to let them back in almost.
Mind you, Luke Brooks, he's quite the player, right?
Yeah, so what's the story? Where's he going next year?
Who did he sign with? Is it Seagulls?
Is that a deal? Oh, yes, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think that'll be a good mix of Cherry Evans. Huh?
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Panthers, Titans.
Got to give that.
Any upsets here?
Got to give that to Panthers.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's just a bit of hope because there's nothing really you can kind of. Yeah, Foran's out. So, yeah. Foran and Tanner Boyd. Who's their house? Jaden Campbell and Tom Weaver. All right. Where are they playing? Another cricket score.
Monty Campbell, he's a gun when he runs, eh?
He is fast.
Yeah, he's got some wheels on him, eh?
I think we missed him when me and Si were doing our eight fastest. I think we talked up a FIFA, but I think we missed Jaden. He should have definitely been in that list.
Panthers, they've won seven straight, so similar to like what Pete mentioned about the Warriors, I'm sort of on that buzz. Do they need to get a loss before the playoffs? Because it's hard to maintain that rage for the duration of the season, which with that stats I brought up earlier. You know, it's only been done 11 wins to win the grand finals. It's only been done twice in 115 years. So it's
but what? Yeah, to do.
I don't
that,
think they'll get a loss this week.
But yeah, that's the thing. Would you as a well? Who makes that call? Would you do it as a team or kind of like a?
You know, the Panthers. I reckon. Yeah, like we'll probably do this podcast in like 10 years' time. You talk about the all-time great teams. We'll talk about, you know, those Raiders teams of, you know, late 80s, early 90s, those Bronx teams of the 90s. I know Pete will probably bring up his Eels teams of the 80s, but this Panthers team will be in that conversation. They're that good. So they are a team who could potentially break that record. But it's just one of those records that it's hard to just win all the way and keep winning all the way to the grand final. So
what was their win streak in 2021? Didn't they get to I thought they got up to like 23 games from they carried over the games from 2020.
Yeah, but it's this record is the most wins all the way, including the playoffs, all the way to the actual, final, to the end. Well, yeah, to the end. Yeah. So I know there have been longer winning streaks, but it's just
that
all
the
way
to
the
final.
To the final.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Shucks, 11 is a yeah.
Yeah, 11's the most. So they'll be beating that. And like you mentioned, Tanner, the loss of Boyd. He's out for the season. Foran's out. You got Tom Weaver. You know, he's by all accounts, he's quite promising, but, you know, like a lot of the young halves, questionable on defense. So, you know, he's up against Luai, Scott Sorensen, who we mentioned before on that side. So, I think they'll go after him, and the Panthers will probably jag a win off the back of that. So, okay, Panthers 13 plus, Panthers by 14, I'll see.
Speaking of Luai, he's re-signed with the Panthers again, eh? Yeah.
Has he?
Oh, so
sure. Hearing something about that earlier on that he just re-signed with them, so he's going to stay with the Panthers.
Oh, good on him!
How did they see? That's brown paper bags right there. If they're upgrading everyone else, how they fit Luai in? Surely he's close to $1 million player.
Well, they also picked up Dane Laurie as well, who just carved up last week.
Oh, is he
F58? So, I don't know how they're going to fit everyone in there. Laurie should be playing first grade. He's too good to be playing reserve grade.
Mm-hmm.
But he ain't going to be, you know, usurping either Cleary or Luai at their club.
Mind you, the cap moves next year as well, eh? Per team.
Yeah. So I heard something. Is that because of the way that the RLPA came out? And so there's a
no. I think that's completely separate. Eh? Like they're talking about the cap moving prior to that. I think it goes up by $2 million per team.
What's that ticket to? What's the cap at the moment? Oh no, that's my fantasy cap. I don't know what the real one is. Surely fantasy must be about the same. There you go. give you on that 12 mil. All right. Storm and Dragons. I think Rabbits made the Dragons look better than they were last week.
Yeah, it'd be good for the Storm to flick their bus away. They look really good last week. Yeah. I actually watched that game, and they put, you know, yeah, Ricky Stewart, he was livid. The Raiders are competing for a top four spot. That was fourth against fifth.
That was the game, yeah.
They got put to the sword. So, you know, the Storm, they might be finding some good form at the right time. And, you know, if they can get Pappenhausen back as well, they could
be. That's right. He's played a couple of games, the reserve grade.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's another easy, well, for me, an easy pick. I'll pick the Storm to win that one quite comfortably.
Yeah, Pete, you seen this one any different?
I think it all depends on how Maxwell actually comes out and plays. Like, if he's on, and then I think the rest of the Dragons seem to be on. And, like, again, I think the Storm could afford to actually drop this game. Mind you, I think they might end up actually losing today, because when you're playing against a team that's got absolutely nothing to lose.
You know what? I think you keep reviewing these games from the perspective of an Eels fan. You're
talking about all the things. He's still working his mask.
They need to drop. They need to drop.
I'm trying to work the numbers here, right? I'm trying to work the numbers to make sure that my team gets in the eight.
There's a fix as end result.
I need the Dragons to win this one.
Luckily, these are those teams you need to drop so that gap comes closer. I think that's an easy win for the Storm. Man, looking real good. That's going to be a big one. Like, I think that's such a luxury to have. Potentially Pappenhausen coming back for the final series. I think they're locked in at fourth. But yep. Nick Meaney's doing so good at the moment that it's like, I guess there's no rush.
That could get interesting, eh? Well, if he does come back, what they do with Nick Meaney, because he's actually had a good year, so...
Mm-hmm.
How they fit everyone in there.
I think that's a testament to the Storm too, eh? Just their ability to, you know, make guns out of, you know, guys that are, you know, just good players. Just real, you know, just focused on what their job is. Just makes them better players. Good to see those homegrown boys, Tonumaipea and Seve as well in the middle there.
Yeah, exactly.
Sunday's games, Rabbitohs Knights. Should be a tight one.
No, I've got Rabbits.
Yeah, your thoughts on this? You win Rabbits.
Just because, last week wasn't a true indication of how well they can actually play, I think last week they were still a bit frosty with the way they were playing, especially at Trail. He had some moments throughout the game, but... He's way better than what.
Oh, bro, that jump and little offload. That was.
Even though that was forward, he was offside. But even though he was offside, you know, that was. that was awesome the way he did that. It would have been even better if he was onside, eh?
Yeah, I think this one could be potentially match of the round. You know, you've got two teams desperate to secure a playoff spot, particularly the Rabbitohs, if we go by your ladder predictor there, Tunnan. You know, we know Souths, they love that sweeping play to the left with Walker and Latrell and Johnston in the corner. But the Knights, they're on a six-game win streak.
Yeah.
And they've benefited from some consistency in their selection. So they've had essentially the same back five. Have played during that streak. Only Bradman Bessie's missed a game against the Dolphins, I think, a few weeks back. And that consistency of selection and understanding on defence will be crucial for those outsides against the Rabbits who like to play that sort of style. So I do think the Knights can hold them out. I'll go the Knights on that one.
Yeah, I went Knights for this as well. Yeah, they're looking real good. Just their forwards too, like just their up-tempo again. I think, you know, is like you're saying, that back five consistency and a lot of props to them. Man, Gagai's been playing good, but just their forwards. Phoenix Crossing, like you said, we'll touch him in if we get to the internationals, but a Kiwi, just found out he's a Kiwi. So, his go for just, again, that hooker position, so key. That'll be a cool matchup, him and Damien Cook. But, I've pipped them the Knights just off their form, like you're saying, a run of six. Yeah, I see them winning this one as well. They're looking real good. And then rounding out the week is the Raiders and the Dogs. Yeah, I was worried about the Dogs last week. I was saying either they'll turn up and be able to kind of hold it out, but might be another hiding. And
yeah,
sure enough. Yeah, I don't know what Serato does when he's getting hidings like that from teams like the Knights. Pete, what do you think on this one? Raiders are too strong.
Yeah, I think the Raiders are slowly starting to click in there, eh? Like, all their players seem to be working well together, where there seems to be a bit of a breakdown with the Bulldogs. I think they've got way too many stars. They don't want to work with each other.
Yep.
Because yeah, they've got on paper they've got the team, eh?
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah, on paper. States, well, yeah, straightforward one there.
Yeah, I think so. Like, we've spoken on this podcast a lot about the Bulldogs' defense, and they've conceded 37 tries through the middle. That's the most, easily the most in the competition, by quite a long way through the middle. And when you look at the Raiders and how they play and their strengths, you know, they've got Tapini and Popoli'i through the middle, Corey Horsburgh at lock. So that's three of their best players are all middles. So they're just going to run through the middle again. That's potentially a bad matchup for the Bulldogs. Or maybe a good matchup if you're a Raiders supporter. But yeah, I think the Raiders could blow the Dogs away here. I'll go Raiders quite a lot, maybe by 20.
Nice, good work on predictions. Update on that game happening at the moment. 12-all, first half. Ooh. Sharks 12-all to the Cowboys. Man, I'd have to jump off quickly and go check up on that game. In other news, so international teams, there's a double header, Kiwis and Toa Samoa. October, I think it's been announced for. So yeah, that looks exciting. I saw that that prediction team that came out for the Kiwis that the Fox Sports put forward. Your thoughts on that team? That's Joey Manu at fullback, Ronaldo and Dallin Watene-Zelezniak, the wingers, Chance Nickel-Klokstad and Matt Tumoko as your centers, in the halves, Sean Johnson at six, Jerome Hughes at seven. And then rounding out the forwards, you got Moses Leota and Fisher Harrison, your forwards. Brandon Smith at hooker. Britton Nakora, Murata Niokore, and Joseph Tapane rounding out your locks. Yeah, your thoughts on that team? Pretty stacked Kiwis team.
Yeah, I was just about to say, it's got a lot of depth to the Kiwi team now, eh?
Man, that forward pack, Leota and Fisher Harris. And you're just saying, Stace, about that go forward they bring.
Yeah, that's a pretty good team. I suppose my concern is like playing Chance in the centres. I'm not sure how he'd go there. I get Joey Manu at fullback. He won the Golden Boot, the best player in the game. Essentially playing fullback for the Kiwis, so I'd probably keep him there at fullback, but I wouldn't mind picking sort of specialists. I thought that was a lot of the Kiwis' downfall at that World Cup. They had some guys playing out of position.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had Niokore playing a bit of centre as well, and some other guys. Yeah, Foran came on to sub Brandon Smith at hooker. It didn't really work. So I would ideally like to get some specialists, except for Joey Manu. I'll keep him at fullback and pick everyone else a specialist. So I would pick Remus Smith in the centres with Timoko.
Yeah.
That would be a change I'd make.
Who's in the halves?
Johnson and Jerome Hughes. Dylan Brown on the bench at 14. Would you rather start Dylan Brown? Hard not to put Johnson at starting at the way he's playing, though.
Yep. We talked a bit about Crossland Day because I wouldn't mind having. We know Brandon Smith's not going to play the full 88 hooker. So I don't know. Oh, you'll probably know the answer to this, Pete, if Dylan Brown can cover hooker.
Yeah, no, he's.
But if not, maybe. Carry on.
He's a man of many talented.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, you just want to get one Eels guy in there. Okay, I'll let that one go.
Yes, no, I was good. Saying Jordan Rickey over Niokore.
No, not for me.
Nah, I think you get more go forward from Murata.
Also, like, you know, this is it's good that they're promoting this rep football, but the only rep football we've seen so far this year has been Origin. And yeah. You look at what happened when, and get, like in game one, they lost Tommy Turbo for a bit, and they ended up playing Nico Hines in the centres for that last 10 or whatever minutes was, and that was a bloody disaster. Then they lose to Brojevic again in game three, and they end up playing bloody, who was that? That hooker there at centre.
Oh, we've spoken
already. Yeah, we've spoken ad nauseum about that already. But that was bloody horrible. So this is what I like about Niokore. You know, if there's no injuries, he can just play him as a forward. But if there is a back injury, he's comfortable playing in the backs. So that's what gets him over the line for me over a bloody Rickey. Just because, you know, he can play his normal role as the forward if there's no injuries, or he can cover the centres if need be. So I'll pick him just because I'm a bit burned from what happened to New South Wales when they got those back injuries.
Nice. I haven't seen a predictor for the Toa Samoa team. But yeah, I guess that probably looks similar to what they ran out during the last World Cup. You'd keep Swali'i at four. Would Swali'i even been available? Is he still here this season, I assumed?
Well, hopefully the Hammer makes himself available again because he was part of it.
Yeah, that's right. He was injured during the World Cup. Oh.
Yeah, he got injured during that World Cup. So he may get picked for Australia. But if he doesn't, I'd pick the Hammer at fullback and then pick Swali'i still on the wing, maybe.
Oh, you keep him out on the wing? Oh, yeah. Yeah, and then To'o on the other one.
Yep.
Who were the centres? Crichton and Tango. Because Tango got injured last the World Cup as well, eh? Or did he come and cover? Oh, no. What's his name? Came in Lafali. So, yeah, I guess that's the centres covered and your wingers. In the halves, you go with Luai.
Schuster, maybe.
Oh, and Luai at seven.
Yeah, Schuster at six, if he wants to. If he wants to, yeah, I would, because I thought, what's his name? Milford, he was poor in that final.
Yeah.
So, I probably would do that.
Schuster.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're saying. Like Chuck Schuster in there. And your forwards?
Yeah, just looking at the team, I don't know who they'd pick at hooker, but I still like Junior.
Junior, he'd be, have to be Junior.
Maybe Spencer Linu, who was on standby for Origin, so he might get the other starting role at prop there. Not sure about hooker though, who they've got there.
Yeah, true. I'm just wondering who could be make themselves available at hooker.
They should have a good team, eh? I think Jaden Sua was there. I'm not sure if he's injured or what, but he might still make it.
There's enough back rows to cover the rest of the...
Leilua from the Cowboys might be in the mix as well. So there's some options there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's probably just, question marks around hooker.
Marty Tapau, would you put him in there?
We might need a win by kneeing people in the face if we want to try and get those knees up. Nah, I wouldn't put him in there, to be honest.
I guess Papali'i, he's retired from all international.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, so I guess that's why he didn't play Origin, so. Yeah, so it should be, that should be a good game for the, for that week. That double header at the thing.
It might be good, eh, when we organise the 135 footy show to a trip, because I think that game's at Eden Park, eh?
Man, That'll be awesome, yeah. Just do a night out for that. Man, speaking of organizing a trip, how about the Las Vegas next year? We'll talk to the producer. If you're listening, we're going to start a GoFundMe page, 135, getting to Vegas. but yeah, I think that's pretty good stats. Like they were saying, I guess they get like maybe 300,000 viewers if they get like even point something of a percent of the population to tune in. So yeah, probably huge for the game, huge to grow it. Might backfire. Is there potential for it to backfire that they start? Oh, nah. So I guess what's comparable, like I was talking to Cams about this, like when you look at these NFL players, for them to make the switch to want to choose this game, you're probably looking at like guys that can't make tier three there to get comparable kind of money in the contracts, eh?
Basically.
Yeah, like you're not going to miss out on NFL contract and then drop down to like a tenth of your pay, potential pay.
Mind you, in saying that, if you have a look at the like the women's soccer, what were they saying? The females, they drew in 3.4 million, but they ended up getting paid 7. So, at least
getting paid 7 what? 7 mil?
Mil. Even though their actual draw revenue while they were away was 3.4.
So, I guess because it's FIFA, eh? They just, the boys just plump up the rest.
And soccer's a game that wouldn't be held in such high respects over there, like compared to your NBA and NFL and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's still people that will take on those sports over there. So, yeah, there's still definite room for promotion.
Yeah, yeah. We just got to find a way to get over there for it. Nice. I just wanted to do a little plug for the Fox Memorial Final this week as well. Richmond Bulldogs taking on the Point Chev Pirates, 3 p.m. out at Mount Smart Field 2. So, yeah, that should be pretty good. Finish out the Fox. I haven't covered any or watched much of this. But just a quick shout-out to Kelly Simonu's son, Presley. He's playing there starting at number 12. So all the best to him and the Pirates.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, something to do this Saturday if you're doing nothing. Cool. Anything else from the week, boys?
The week that was.
No,
for me, you know, like we talked about the Samoa and the Kiwis and that, so it's just good to hear that announcement about the international game getting some love with the Tri-Series tournament and the women's internationals at the end of the season. So we saw that earlier at that World Cup, that just the passion, you know, particularly for Samoa and the Polynesian teams. Yeah, so I do feel like the international game and the women's game, that provides the largest opportunity for growth in rugby league. So it's important that that's nurtured and given that opportunity to grow.
Yeah.
So I believe that, I'm not sure they might be making this up, but I believe that part of the CBA negotiations, which I'm glad we didn't go into because that's boring as, but part of the agreement, I believe, was that the international teams will receive payment upgrades for Tier 2 nations like Samoa.
Yeah.
So,
and I think Australian government is part of that, so not just part of the Yeah, Australian government is actually going to put money towards those Pacific teams to kind of grow that stuff. So that's awesome to hear as well.
Yeah. So when you combine that passion that the players have and the fans have, and with actual investment, you know, and you look at just the ever changing cultural demographic of the NRL, I just feel optimistic about the future of the international games. So that's just something I wanted to say. Mm.
Well, yeah, and that's one thing I'd like to kind of probably give my hats off to the NRL and the in rugby league. over Union. It's just the way they're treating these teams, the Pacific teams. You know, upgrades like this to Pacific players, you know, that's putting, you know, these guys on the map, not just, you know, you're a great Pacific player. It's like, no, you're a great player, like in the scheme of the game, not just out of all the Pacific Islanders, you're the best. It's like, no, you guys are top notch across the whole league. And then, yeah, just real investment, you know, just the rules around allowing, you know, and calling the Pacific teams tier two. And, you know, I think tier one is only Australia, New Zealand, and England. Is that how they kind of? And so, yeah, that might have to change those rules, because at some point they're going to have to, you know, once one of these Pacific teams takes out the World Cup, probably in the next one, you know, they will start to question, well, what counts as a tier one and tier two nation.
Well, they've got I'm not sure of the full criteria, but the RLIF, the Rugby League International Federation, they've got these genuine rules about what makes a tier one nation. Part of it is like the regeneration of, like, for future players. So you've got to have legitimate
pathways to keep the game alive for your country.
Yeah, and legitimate competitions in your home country. And this is where the Samoa and Tonga and that are falling over, right? So yeah, all of their players are essentially New Zealand and Australia have come through those pathway systems. No, there's not much players, I don't know if there's any, who have actually played league in Samoa and then come play for Samoa. So until they get that sorted, which looks a long way off, they'll always be tier two nations, because you can't just be good, win the World Cup, and then that generation retires.
Yeah,
and then you've got all these Gaia ones, but so, like, oh, sorry, you're tier one, so to you. So that's a big part of being a tier one nation, just having that regeneration part of it.
Because I like how the rules allow these players to, you know, to play for their country.
Exactly.
Whereas, you know, at the moment with Union, with the, is it a 2 year lockout or 3 year?
Three year lockout. So
especially when these guys, you know, you kind of, you'll start, and unless you're great, you kind of have to spend 3 years, you know, learning your craft to kind of get in there. And then you'll probably, you know, play a couple of years. And then if you want to change, you know, that's kind of at the twilight of your career for most players to be able to rep the other country. Something that league can kind of pat themselves on the back when kind of getting these contracts and putting Pacifica, you know, and acknowledging, you know, they even say, you know, a lot of commentators acknowledge, you know, 50% of the players are Pacifica. So it's awesome to see the leaps and bounds they're doing. Nice, yep. Awesome, nice closing point. Pete, anything else, bro?
No, but what I did actually hear was just for the Warriors, they could be losing their home grounds to the Auckland Blues, bro. You heard that first here.
Yeah. I heard that the Auckland Blues can't afford to stay at Eden Park and are looking around.
Yeah, so I was listening to Talkback and they were saying that that's on their radar, the old Mount Smart Stadium, just because even though it's a big venue and everything, it's just the cost-wise, Eden Park was just stripping them financially.
But they can't. The Blues, what? They just come in. That's Moana's home ground.
Eh?
That's Moana Pacifica's home ground. They're based out of there. So,
oh, yeah.
They can't just come and step on Moana's feet and go, oh, actually... You guys got to go rent Eden Park. We heard you guys got more money.
Hey, they're coming to Trust Stadium.
That's what I said. Bring them out, boys. Nice. Yeah. Shop boys, that's a wrap. Looking forward to these some good 40, three more weeks to go. And then I'm going to have an episode for you, Pete, and Johnny, and Roger, and Cams to come on and explain yourselves, explain your teams.
Explain your Mad Monday plans, what you've hired.
No,
that'll be good.
Solid, boys. Thanks for joining me on this episode. Check us out for more content, more of the write-ups from our columnists on wheswhesnet.com. You'll find all the other podcast channels on there as well. Shop, boys. Catch up.
Bye. Sorry. Right. Thanks, brother.
Cheers. Cheers. Sure, Pete. Sure for jumping on. Oh, you just stay on, bro. We just, Cams will, because he has to keep you on until the